The first reading for today is Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and flute. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The New Testament reading is from Colossians chapter 1. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile himself to all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand for our gospel reading. The gospel reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 13 to 15. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Amen. All right, first question. Do you really love to tell the story? I mean, do you? Because is it something that you go out and you purposely seek to tell the story? If you really love to tell the story, then you're going to be out there talking about him. Yeah, or we're not. You know, it's kind of like the folks who sing stand up for Jesus while sitting down. Doesn't work. We either love the Lord with all our heart, with all our mind, or we don't. I mean, it's just that simple. It's either we're in this or we're not. And then I guess we can judge different degrees of how much we're in this, but the question is, are you progressing or going backwards in those things either? The hymns that are there for us tonight with the "O come all you faithful," simply that great refrain, "O come let us adore him, O come let us adore him." And then we sing that several times, "O come let us adore him." Do we really adore him like we should? You know. In the "Hark the Herald Angels Sing," you know, they're singing, "Glory to the newborn king. Glory be to this king." To adore is to love, to respect deeply, to worship, to venerate something. Are we in that kind of relationship with God? In Luke 4, we get the temptation of Jesus, where the devil at one point is saying, "Hey, just come on, bow down to me, and I'm going to give it all back to you, basically. I'm just going to say, you know, you can have it. I'm going to back out, but you got to bow down to me first." And Jesus reminds him, he says, "Worship the Lord your God, and him only shall we serve." In Deuteronomy, we get that great phrase that talks about loving him, serving him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might. Do we adore God in that kind of a fashion? Are we all in, or are we still on our way? The wise men had it right. I mean, they spared no expense to go on this, what would have been an incredibly treacherous journey, to find this Christ child. And they had it right. They knew what adoration was for a king. Not only the expense of the journey to go and worship him, but then to bring him these gifts too. And that's all we get. We don't know if they even made it back. We have no idea. Their story is over once they have gone different way than letting Herod know where the Christ child was, which really fulfills their purpose. They came to adore Jesus. Why are the wise men a part of our Christmas story at all, quite honestly, if it's not to recognize the value of that adoration? They served no other purpose. That's all they did. They came and adored him and brought gifts, and they treated him as the king he was. And that's their whole purpose in Scripture. That, and to grant us a great song, you know, that we don't even know is accurate, We Three Kings, and from the Orient of all places, too, for sure. You know, we really don't know, but that's okay. In the Catechism, we get some ideas that are very simple and very basic, which is what the Catechism is meant to do for us, to just bring it down and boil it down to a simple understanding. When we pray in the petition, the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, "Hallowed be thy name," what does it mean to say, "Hallowed be thy name"? And it's that his name might be kept holy among us. It's that it's taught in its truth and purity, and that we live our lives according to that truth and purity. That's it. To hallow the Lord is that we keep his name and keep him holy, and we live according to that. That's our goal, is to live as if we truly adore God. That's what we're called to do. And you don't need a reason to adore God, do you? Other than the fact that he is God. I mean, he created you. There's reason enough. He sustains you. He's healed you numerous times. He's blessed you. He's answered so many prayers. He's forgiven you for your sins and promised you life everlasting. We got all the reasons we need taken care of without a doubt. Is there anything, and here's where it really comes down to, is there really anything that's more important than honoring, than adoring, than respecting, than worshiping God? Anything? Getting a few extra hours sleep, is that more important? Going camping? A football game? I know that tugs real that gets close in Texas. I mean, if we had demigods, that would be one, in Texas. But no, it doesn't come close. That's not as important as worshiping our God. It's not as valuable as praising the Lord. I mean, the thing here is, God doesn't need your praise. God doesn't need your adoration. God doesn't need your love or your respect. But he gives you the opportunity to show it to him and to return it to him, because he has given you his love. He has given you his heart. In fact, in Jesus, he gave you his own life. And in that death and resurrection, everything that Jesus earned was not for Jesus' account, but for ours. He gave that to you. Knowing that, what else is more important than worshiping God? I mean, we either do this or we don't do this. We either get it right or we're wandering and wondering and in one of those other hymns that doesn't know where it's really going somewhere down the line. We're like that Bible verse that Nimrod was a mighty hunter. Yeah, we're in the Bible, but we don't know what we're doing with it. What do you do with a text like that? I don't know. That's why we don't preach on it. Although I just did. What do we do with our God? What are we going to do with God? I mean, God is either deserving of our worship day and night, and recognizing that God is there in all things, and he is. He's there when you're at work. He's there when you're at school. He's there when you're at the grocery store. He's there in your conversations. He's there when you've had too much to drink. He's there when you're criticizing others. He's there when you're gossiping. He's there when you're ridiculing. He's there when you're partying. He's there when you're singing. He's there when you're reading his scriptures. He's there in the good. He's there in the bad. He's there all the time. But what we tend to do and what we often will do is treat God more like he's there as a parachute. He's around, but he's really not involved until we need him. And then we'll call on him and let him know. We really dare not treat God like a parachute. Parachutes don't always work. God does. But God works in our life because he's there all the time. He knows everything about us. He's intimately involved in your life. And his desire is now for you to desire to be intimately involved in his life, in knowledge of him and in an understanding of him, in a desire that is so great to be with him and to know more about him that you'd love to tell that story over and over. That's adoration. That's praise. That's worship. That's venerating God. He doesn't need your adoration. Like I said, he doesn't need your love, but he gives you the opportunity to give it back. And in giving you that opportunity, we find that we need to adore him. No, he doesn't need it, but we need it. We need it in our lives because it strengthens us in our faith. It also gives witness and testimony to others as we are active in that faith life. As we're people of prayer and people of devotion and people of faith, we grow stronger and stronger in that faith. We're more able to follow God, as circular as this sounds, the more we follow God. It's the way it works. The more you love him, the more you're going to be able to love him. It's so simple. And yet we turn away from it. You use a GPS, don't you, to get where you're going? A lot of you. You use a map of some sort. Think of God more like that. God is your GPS through life. He can get you everywhere, and he's the one that's going to be with you to tell you, take a U-turn, you're going the wrong way. Yeah, recalculating. That's something I guess we really don't want to hear about from God, you know, recalculating your life. But I can hear him saying, turn left. I said, turn left. At the nearest exit, stop, get off, turn around, go back, and do what I told you the first time. That's the God GPS in my life. I don't know what it would be like in your life, but isn't he there desiring to tell us the way all of the time? And are we listening all of the time? Or just when we feel like we need to pull the string and be rescued? There are so many people that can quote, and I'm one of them, hundreds of song lyrics. I have so many songs memorized, it's ridiculous. From my days in radio and working in the radio station, And from days at UPS, I know zip codes all over the United States that are so worthless to me now. Really don't care what Massachusetts, what numbers are up there, right? But they're wasting space. I wish I could just kind of hit delete and free up that, like you do on your hard drive, right? Wouldn't that be awesome? There are so many people that can name what's on a Big Mac. Two all beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onion, on a sesame seed bun. Yeah, you knew it. The problem is that there are so many people that can do all of these things, but they don't even know the Ten Commandments. And if you ask them to name the Ten Commandments, could they do it? Could you do it? Do we really love to tell the story? Are we busy about other things? We know what it is to adore God. We know what it is to praise him. We know what it is that we should be doing in singing his praises and in reading his word and being in the word and in being in the fellowship and loving God and praising Him, and even more so this time of year, it just jumps right out in front of us and, if you will, kind of hits us in the face and reminds us, yeah, this is what it's all about. Well, if Jesus is the reason for the season, isn't Jesus the reason for every day of your life? Why is He just the reason for this season? What happened there? That is such a problem. No, Jesus isn't the reason for the season. Jesus is the reason for everything. Absolutely everything. And that's what He needs to be a part of in our life. Absolutely everything. What I would ask is that you would consider between now and Christmas simply one question. And it's a question you have to direct to God. You have to ask Him yourself, how can I adore You? And maybe throw that in your prayers between now and Christmas. When you offer your prayers to God, ask Him each time, how can I adore You? And hopefully spend some time listening to God as well. But focus on that in your heart, in your mind. Because there is nothing more important that you can do with your life. There is nothing more important that you can do in your life than to truly adore, to love, to worship, to praise God. And I won't say our God, I won't say your God. I say God because there's only one. Is it? God. How can I adore You? Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds, and your lives always in Christ Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, and God. Amen. Would you rise? Lord God, help us to truly adore You as we should, to love You as we should, to know what it means to give ourselves to You, and to understand fully what it means that You gave Yourself for us, that You have done all for us, and that You are there for us in all times and all places. Bless us as Your children and help us to continue to come to You. How can we adore You? Bless us with this thought. Bless us as Your children and bless us in Your holy name. Amen.